Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
It's a blessing to be alive on this side of heaven. And I said to myself as I was preparing for the lesson, you better say Happy Mother's Day. The first thing come out of your mouth so I won't forget. And again for the tape, Happy Mother's Day. God has blessed us once again to be alive on this side of eternity, to hear another portion of his word, and to worship him in spirit and truth, to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who paid the price for our salvation, and through him we have forgiveness of sins, and we have the hope of eternal life, which God has promised, and God does not lie. I will get right to the point, because I'm long-winded. I won't finish this morning. There's a part two tonight. So if you don't come back on tonight, you're going to miss some of it. But I'll do all I can to give a very good message on this morning. Our lesson, or our focus this morning, will be taken from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And make sure you have your Bibles. Just don't listen. Pull your Bible out and reflect upon the words of God as we worship him in spirit and truth. This is part of our worship as we reflect on God, our Father, and the love that he's shown to us through Jesus, through his word. And this morning, we're going to reflect upon the word of God. We're going to reflect upon what Jesus had to say regarding the gospel. As always, I always prepare a wealth of information, always too much sometimes, and Glenn has been on me to make sure I give him a copy so he can put it on the website. It may crash after all the scriptures are uploaded. The intro that I prepared for us, why do we need the gospel? Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The only way we can have our sins forgiven is by hearing and obeying the gospel of Christ. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins by hearing and obeying the gospel of Christ. The message this morning is about how people respond to the gospel. For the message on this morning, we will reflect on and meditate on the parable of the sower. And one thing about this particular passage, every one of us can find ourselves in the parable of the sower. No one will be left out. And as we prepare for eternity, as we prepare for the afterlife, as we constantly prepare to do God's will, as we reflect upon this parable, it's a self-evaluation as to where we're at in our life. Now, that was why we need the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Now, according to Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Study, it's the joyous good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Greek word translated as gospel means a reward for bringing good news, or simply the good news. The gospel is not a new plan of salvation. It is the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation that was begun in Israel and was completed in Jesus Christ, and is made known by the church. Again, made known by the church. We are the church, the called out believers of Christ. We are commanded to go forth and teach the gospel of Christ. The definition further reads, the gospel is the saving work of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and a call to faith in him. Jesus is more than a messenger of the gospel. He is the gospel. The good news of God, the good news of God was presented in his life, teaching, atoning death. I thought that was a very fitting definition of the gospel. Now, I spoke to sin separates us from God, and we know the plan of salvation, that we must hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must believe that gospel in order to be saved. We must repent of our sins as God and Jesus has instructed us in his word. And Jesus said we must confess him before men. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. That is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you're with me, turn in your Bibles. I like your Bibles turning. It doesn't matter what I say unless it's thus says the Lord and from his word. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. As we move on in our message from the Almighty this morning, the passage selected is taken from Matthew chapter 13, and its focus is on a parable. Now, my research indicates that there's about approximately 39 parables. It depends upon what Bible you have and what scholar, how many you count as parables. So 39 parables. What is a parable? A parable is a brief story that makes a comparison, according to my research, and that is true. It typically uses an illustration from everyday life to bring out a spiritual truth. A parable conveys a spiritual truth through a series of earthly comparisons. For the message this morning, we will reflect and meditate on the parable of the sower. And again, I said that we can find ourselves in each. There's four categories. Four categories. And these four categories can represent four hearts. Four different types of hearts. Now, this parable, background reading says this parable relates to a farmer in Palestine back in biblical times. And the farmer would first scatter the seed, then the ox and plow would come and cover the seed. Jesus used this situation to show how God's words are accepted in people's hearts. In today's world, many seeds fall among thorny weeds. God's message today is becoming choked by worries, riches, pleasures of this life. Some Christians who used to bear fruit have stopped. They have become entangled in the search for money, success, and pleasure. I would add that they have been distracted by tribulations and persecution, by worldly friends, by worldly family members. Let me not tarry. So the four souls represents four kinds of people who hear the gospel. The story tells about different kinds of hearers. And one unique thing about this particular parable is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Jesus also interprets the parable. So as we take that into heart, we're going to listen to what Jesus had to say in regards to his word, the word being sown. Same day, Jesus went out of his house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So here we have Jesus coming out of the house, and he's sat by the seaside, if you can visualize that. And Jesus was very popular, very popular. Back in that day, I would be just following Jesus as well. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship. Visualize, Jesus is going into a ship. Got a lot of people. And he sat down in the ship. The whole multitude stood on the shore. So they're standing on the shore, and Jesus is about to deliver a message. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Think about a farmer planting a seed. Now the sower here has to be God, Jesus, sows the word through his disciples, through the church. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. As we reflect upon the message is simple. We must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We must be obedient to God's message.
Amen.
In order to be saved. Now, Jesus, in verses 10 through 17, he explains the purpose of the parables. But we're going to focus on verse 18 to cut right to the chase. Verse 10 through 17 can be for our reading later. 18, Jesus explains the parable. That's one thing I like about this parable. He leaves no doubt what those four categories represent. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, one thing I want to note before I get ahead of myself. The sower soweth the word. It's one key word that we found in this parable. The word can be sown through a gospel evangelist, or the word can be sown through Christ working through his disciples to spread the gospel throughout the world. And we are disciples of Christ. A disciple is a follower, and we are followers of Jesus Christ. So we can be sowing, be a sower. The seed is the word of the kingdom, the word of God. First, we must understand what the seed represents. It represents the word of God. The word of God tells us how to be saved and how to live the Christian life. The Bible also shows us how to live as a Christian. So with those that background knowledge about the sower, who the sower is, what the seed is, now let us start to look at the explanation. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now remember, I said the parable is a brief story that makes a comparison. Jesus is making a comparison to farming, seed, soil. Now the soil in farming is essential for a seed to take root, to get nourishment, and to grow. The word that God, the word of God is sown in our hearts. And if it doesn't remain there, there's going to be a problem. And if it does not grow, there's going to be a problem. So let's listen to the explanation. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Jesus made it very plain. They heard the word, hear, believe, repent. But the key verse, and understandeth not. Don't understand the word. don't understand the word. It could be a number of reasons why they don't understand the word, that we can have a whole class on how people don't, why people don't understand the word. But they don't understand the word. And when you don't understand the word, Jesus says, if then cometh the wicked one or the evil one, Satan, the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in where? The heart. God's word has to take root in our hearts. So who's in that category this morning where the word, they don't understand the word, and it's not in your heart? You're by the wayside. But maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. I'm not in this category. I'm not by the wayside. And one particular some information I looked at, it talked about the person being unresponsive, failed to respond to the seed or the word or the gospel. And when you fail to respond, that gives Satan time to come take the word out of your heart. And how can Satan take? I thought about that. How does he take the word out of our hearts? And it came to me as I get older, I'll be thinking about something. And then several other, I said, I know I got to do it. And then several other things have come up. And guess what? It's not in my heart anymore. That's maybe one way he can do it. If you don't respond, you don't understand, he arranges it so it's not in your heart anymore. And who's in that category? That is seed that fell by the wayside. And when you're by the wayside, you're exposed. If you think about a farmer, if it doesn't go into the soil, it's exposed. The next category, Jesus says, But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. Here we got to, you got to hear the word. We must hear the word. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. We've seen people that they're so happy to hear the word of God, to receive the word of God, to obey, to be baptized, to confess, yet hath no root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So how do we not have, when you think about a farmer, if the seed is not able to germinate in the ground, for the roots to go deep in the soil and to receive nourishment and cover from the elements, then how can it grow? No root. Now, as we think about roots, how do we get roots in Jesus? How do we get roots in Jesus? Now, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's one way to be rooted and grounded in the word of God in our hearts, in our minds. And also Paul said in the letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:14, we should study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, that was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Prior to that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17. As we think about the rocky ledge or the thin or shallow layer of soil, that seed is not able to get enough water, nourishment, and that nourishment in our life from a spiritual standpoint comes from the Word of God. The Word of God will change our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
If we hear the Word of God. That's why it's important. Some people say, well, I don't want to come back on Sunday night. You're missing an opportunity.
Amen.
It's a sacrifice to come back on Sunday night. To hear the Word of God. To get help. Well, let me stop. That's a whole nother lesson. Coming back on Sunday night. Now, one thing I want to point out. Four things. When your seed is among the stony place, you need the Word of God. You need faith, love, and obedience. So just having the Word of God in your heart. Now, let me get we don't want to miss out on that other part, that you hear the Word is in your heart, but God requires obedience. And obedience is essential for the Word to take root as well. Now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, very quickly, as my time escapes me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Now, Jesus is speaking again. And he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So doing the will of the Father is a requirement. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. Can't work iniquity. Must do the will of the Father. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, we must do the sayings of Jesus. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Persecution, tribulation, trials, fall away. Not built on a rock, not built on the sayings of God, not built on doing God's will. We have to be careful. We have to be careful because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, for here we have no continuing city. We seek one to come. We're going to die. And God is the only one through Jesus Christ that can save us. So we must build our house upon the rock, the sayings of Jesus, the will of God. Nevertheless, I'm digressing a moment, but I definitely wanted to cover that we must have the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. So we must have faith. And what other key element? We must love God. A lot of people don't love God. You say, why did they fell away? They don't love God. They hear the Word, heard the Word. And I talked to the teenagers about this. They've heard the Word when they were in the womb. When their mother came to church. No, I'm just figuratively speaking. I don't know if they heard or not. But they were pregnant when their mom came to church, brought them to church. And when they were born, they came to church. From a cradle roll to all the little classes, they go all the way up through the high school. And then they graduate from high school and they fall away from the Lord. Why? Why? 2 Peter 2:20. Let's turn there real quick. 2 Peter 2:20. My teenagers, or well, the students in the teenage class, they will say that Wes Warner Brothers Roberts' national anthem scriptures. He's always talking about 2 Peter 2:20. Peter writes, and this relates more to the thorny places, but nevertheless it's good here as well. For if after they have received, have escaped the pollutions of the world, how? How do we escape the pollutions of the world? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's worse. It's worse. And God bless the spiritual moms that teach their young kids, bring them to Bible study, encourage them to be participants in Bible Bowl. Forget Brother Roberts, he's hard. Everybody knows Brother Roberts hard. But they learn so much about the Word of God. There's no other place that you're going to study. That's my reminder that it's 11:45. Nevertheless, the last two. Now, the last two categories are meant to be covered tonight. That's part two. But my wife reminded me, she said, well, you got to at least cover them for the people that are not coming back tonight. So let's turn back to Matthew chapter 13. And tonight I will expound on those last two in more detail, give you a little overview today, this morning. Matthew 13. I took my hand off of it. That gives you guys time to get there as well. Matthew 13. The seed that fell among the thorns. Preoccupied people. Unplowed, unprepared soil. Three things would choke the word. Cares, riches, pleasures. May not be sinful things in themselves, but simply things that demand so much attention from us that we neglect spiritual things. Consider, too, that one might continue to attend the worship with the church, but still not be bearing fruit as Jesus expects. I think most of us here today fall into the third category. You don't come back tonight, you're going to miss a lot. It's an incentive to come back. Hear about the third category. How can I move from the third category to the fourth category? Another point, this points to the need for a proper balance in life. You have obligations with school, a job, family. These obligations must not be neglected, but none of these things should be allowed to become so important to you that you neglect your spiritual life. Now, some people allow health to take them away from God. And back in old school, they said, well, you're home on Sunday, all day on Sunday recuperating, but when the bell tolled on Monday morning, guess where you're at? You're at work. If it's not contagious, you got to reevaluate that. All right. So, verse 22, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground, that's where we want to be. good ground, a good heart, a receptive heart, a heart that understandeth God's word, a heart that has, that's been rooted and continually is rooted in God's word. And Sunday night, it helps root you. Wednesday Bible study helps root you in God's word. Is it appointed for man once to die and then the judgment? We're going to die and we are going to be judged. So this is the time of preparation. So that last category, it's a good heart. The word found its place into a good ground, a good heart, that heareth the word and understandeth it. You understand the word of God from hearing teaching and Bible study, which also beareth fruit. And then you got to have some obedience. That's where the bearing fruit comes in. You can hear the word all the time. Don't preach and teach about Jesus. Don't encourage anybody. But you at least come to service and encourage somebody. That's a work, encouragement. Also bearing fruit and bringing forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30. We can't fool ourselves. We must bear some fruit for the Almighty. We must hear the word and understand the word so that we may teach others. The message, or the time has escaped me. I will continue on tonight, specifically expounding on the last two categories, because most, I believe, a large percentage of us fall in the seed that fell among the thorns, or the seed that fell among good ground. The lesson or the message from God is ours. If you are here, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have not obeyed the word of God. I would encourage you to hear the word of God. And today, you have heard some of the word of God. And because Romans 10:17, so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That you believe, you need to believe in Jesus. And we'll do all we can to explain to you why you need to believe in Jesus. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must repent of our sins, from our sins, Luke 13:3. According to Matthew 10:32, in the words of Christ himself, we must confess him before men. If we deny him, he will deny us. And also found in the scriptures, in the word of God, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. He told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The message is ours. If you hear and you want to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please make it known. As we prepare our minds to sing praises unto God, if you are subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.